J.C. Corcoran Podcast. Neil Sedaka wrote a song called Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. I wrote a breaking up song called Baby Take Your Tongue Out of My Mouth, I'm Kissing You Goodbye. You walk in, I walk out. We ain't got nothing we can talk about, baby. Take your tongue out of my mouth, I'm kissing you goodbye. I said I love you and you said I love me too. Then the next thing I know you're wearing round heel shoes. Take your tongue out of my mouth, I'm kissing you goodbye. I made the money, honey, you made the round. Yeah, you can't buy nothing unless you put something down. Take your tongue out of my mouth, I'm kissing you goodbye. If love means never having to say you're sorry, I apologize. Whoever said it's better to have loved and lost than never loved at all ought to give you a call. I may be a fool, but I ain't fooling around. Oh, you don't kick a dog when that dog is down. Take your tongue out of my mouth, honey, kissing you goodbye. Oh, take your tongue out of my mouth, I'm kissing you goodbye. Big finish! Take your tongue out of my mouth, I'm kissing you goodbye.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, January 26th, 2022, 287 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. Welcome to JCOnTheLine.com. Major League Baseball writers made it pretty apparent yesterday that three guys, all of whom have Hall of Fame numbers, but who are liars, two about steroids and one about, I don't know, just what's going on in the world, I guess. Kurt Schilling actually went down by 13%. So Big Poppy's getting in 77% of the vote, almost 80% of the vote. Barry Bonds getting 66%, Roger Clemens 65%, Scott Rowland up 11% to 63% of the vote. You need 75%. Kurt Schilling, like I said, down 13%. Somebody asked me about Sammy Sosa. I'm like, are you serious? Really? Sammy Sosa? Come on. Alex Rodriguez was in his first year of eligibility, and he got about 34% of the vote, so he's not even halfway there. Now all we have to do is worry about whether or not there's going to be a season. Okay, that'd be nice to actually have a baseball season. It was interesting because on the Hall of Fame announcement last night on the Major League Baseball channel, they're like, regardless of what happens with the season, we're having our ceremony. It's like, well, that wasn't very reassuring, but thanks anyhow. Back over to football for a minute because Aaron Rodgers is still flapping his trap up there in Wisconsin. You know, this Shailene Woodley, she was the first time I ever saw her. I think she was only about 17 years old. She was in a movie with George Clooney called The Descendants, and it was a really, real good movie. It was about this family in Hawaii that had inherited, you know, going back, you know, 150 years, all this land in Hawaii, and it was time to basically either sell it or not sell it, and I don't want to tell you too much above and beyond that. And then there's a subplot going on involving George Clooney's wife, who was cheating on him at the time that she was involved in a near-fatal boating accident. And if you haven't seen the movie, it's awfully good, and the scenery is fabulous, and it's all Hawaiian music. And normally, I can only take that stuff in small doses, but if you're making a movie about Hawaii, somehow it all fits. fabulous movie. Anyhow, she plays George Clooney's daughter in this movie, and she's just like a skinny thing. She had like no figure at all. A lot of swimsuit shots and stuff like that, but she was wasn't fully grown yet. And then she's been in a bunch of other movies and shows and stuff. And, you know, one of the things I've noticed along the way is that she was pretty much involved in liberal causes. And then, you know, after the big shot quarterback goes through Danica Patrick and then Olivia Munn ends up with her. And it's like, how'd those two end up together? You know, if you know anything about Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he's real hard right wing, anti-vaxxer, all that sort of stuff. And then Shailene Woodley, it's like, how do those two get together? It's like, they don't talk about politics. They don't talk about anything important. I don't know how a marriage like that works. I never got that James Carville, Mary Madeline. Is that right? Mary Madeline? They used to be on TV all the time. They're not so much anymore, so I guess I forgot their names. Never understood that one either. And now we hear that Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm and her husband, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., are at odds over some of the same anti-vax rhetoric that has been flying around. As I like to say, watch this space. Peter Dinklage has got to be the coolest dwarf or little person or whatever they call him these days that has ever lived. This guy is so fucking cool. And, you know, they announced the other day that Disney is going to do a live-action remake of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And Peter Dinklage just lays into Disney about the whole thing. So now Disney said to avoid reinforcing stereotypes, they're going to be consulting members of the dwarfism community. Janet Jackson has a, is it a book or a movie or a series or something? I don't know. She was on Entertainment Tonight last night pushing something. Anyhow, she says that Michael used to tease her about her weight. He would call her names like pig, horse, slaughter hog, and cow. And she says he'd laugh about it, and then she'd laugh too. But, you know, somewhere down inside, it actually hurt her. If she wanted to fight back, there was plenty of stuff that Michael could have been criticized for. He's the one to be handing out the criticism. I am so sure. I don't know about you, but as much as I like Colbert, I still miss Dave. I miss Dave a lot. I miss him every day. Well, we have some good news because on Tuesday, it's the 40th anniversary of Late Night. Dave started with that. Then, of course, it went on to Conan and now Seth Meyers. And so to celebrate on February 1st, which is Tuesday, Dave is coming back and he's going to do Seth Meyers' show. They haven't told us too much about it, but it is on Tuesday night, something you can watch for. I don't know where you were on this date in 2004, but I was stuck in New Orleans. The radio station had done one of those listener cruises. And so we were, you know, in places like, I don't know, I think that was the one that went to Aruba and places like that. And we get back to New Orleans, and they tell us a lot of the airports throughout the Midwest are closed. There was an ice storm and snowstorm in St. Louis. And so the station said, we're getting you a hotel. You're stuck in New Orleans until further notice. There's a lot worse places you can be stuck, especially when somebody's picking up the tab. I had the most delicious piece of fish I've ever had in my life in New Orleans. I'm sure it wasn't any good for me. It was very salty and everything like that, but it was the best piece of fish I have ever, 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 ever had, and I didn't even have to pay for it. That was 2004. That was a lot better than what happened on this date in 1992, where St. Louis Magazine named J.C. Corcoran both the best and the worst, the best and the worst broadcast personality in St. Louis. Thank you very much, St. Louis. You mean everything to me. The Pope was here on this date, 1999. Remember when they gave him the hockey stick and he said he was going to come back to St. Louis and play hockey? Liar! You never did. But yeah, he never made it back. 94 on this date was the NHL skills competition. This is before it got very, very sophisticated and a big television show and the whole thing the way they do it now. Back in 1994, it was sort of in its early days. And I just remember that somehow our radio station at the time was one of the sponsors of the event. And so you had all these people at the old barn. Well, let's see. No, 94. Nah, that would have been the new place. All right, so they get everybody out there, and they're doing the skills competition, and at one point, I get to skate out onto the ice, and they made a giant picture of me, just my head with my mouth open, and then a little hole in the mouth, and then they stuck that in front of the goal, right in front of the net, and then people would have to try to shoot into my mouth. And I will tell you, that's the second time that I had been in front of a crowd out onto the ice. And what happens is they announce your name and everybody boos. But in both cases, when they saw me skate out onto the ice, and I can skate reasonably well, then they sort of cheered. It was like, oh, okay, we hate you, but you can skate and we love hockey. So that's sort of cool. Crowds can be very, very fickle. And in one of the more bizarre chapters of my life and my career, well, that happened on this date in 1993, and here's what happened. I had been off the air for over a year. This was after my unceremonious departure from 93.7 KSD, the classic rock station at the time. And I'd been off the air for over a year, and I was sitting out contractual obligations and stuff like that. But I was still working for the television station. I was working for Channel 4, doing entertainment stuff and things like that. And so they came to me one day and said, what we would like to do is send you to New York and do interviews with the 60 Minutes gang, the West 57th gang. Raldo's running around up there. You can do him. You got Andy Rooney from 60 Minutes. While you're there, the same company, Viacom at the time, owned MTV. So we're going to send you up there too. There's a bunch of people that you can talk to. So you come back and you've got like 10 stories that you can run on Channel 4 with JC running around New York. I'm like, fabulous, let's go. So I get on the plane and I'm sitting there. And the next two people to get on the plane and take two seats right behind me are the new general manager and program director of KMOX, Rod Zimmerman and Tom Langmeier. Now, I had known Tom from Buffalo. I was working on the FM. He was working on the AM, so I knew Tom really well. Great guy, by the way. And so for 2.5 hours on a flight from St. Louis to New York, we're sitting there talking the whole time. And so, you know, end up in New York. They go their way, I go mine, I go do my interviews, I fly back to St. Louis. And about a week later, I get a call from KMOX, and they're like, how would you think about coming over? I'm like, coming over to your house? He's like, no, coming over to KMOX. I just started laughing, like, what are you talking about? He's like, no, Rod was very, very impressed with you, and he was looking at your numbers, you know, for the last couple of years, and we got the afternoon show open, and we really think that you would do a great job, and that's how I ended up at KMOX. So, you know, it's one of those deals where every once in a while you'll hear the stories about restricted golf courses, and I know some people might think this is a bit of a stretch, but it really isn't. You know, it's like, why would black people who are barred from membership at country clubs, they're like, well, why would you even want to be someplace where you're not wanted? And it's like, well, because that's where the deals are made. You know, that's what people don't understand. It's like, yeah, you're playing golf, but you're also bullshitting with one another and you're getting to know one another. And somebody says, you know, I like that guy. Well, if you never have a chance to be in that environment, there's no telling how much business or how many opportunities you don't get because you're just not a member of that environment. Here I am sitting on a plane. If I hadn't had those two guys sitting behind me, I never would have had that chapter in my career. And come to think of it, maybe that would have been better. Yesterday, we were talking about this guy, James Austin Johnson, who does the amazing Donald Trump impersonation on Saturday Night Live. He also does Joe Biden. So Seth Meyers has him on the other night. And in addition to being a great impressionist, he's also just a really, really funny guy. Now, I don't do a lot of impressions, but I know a lot of people like to crack people up in the office and stuff like that. And if you're trying to perfect your Donald Trump impersonation, maybe you can get a couple of tips here as James Austin Johnson from SNL explains how he arrived where he is today.
So I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm from a pretty conservative environment. I was raised in, I went to church 18 times a week or something like that. And so the stream of consciousness thing, I think I just, as the more progressive member of my family, I remember the Thanksgiving where I was like, I voted for Obama. Nothing. So I've always been that guy in my family. And so when Trump came on the scene, ooh, I was pissed.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't like this guy. He's weird and he's mean. And it broke my heart for a long time. And then I was a voices guy, so obviously I have to try out doing a Trump. And so when I, the first times that I tried doing the Trump, it was it just sort of reflected my sort of liberal black sheep anger. You know, I mean, we're going to kill everybody. You know, I was saying stuff that no one wanted to hear. Or I'd say, like, things he actually said. And I just remember the audience just always yanking back, especially as I got the voice, as I started sounding like him.
Yeah.
And then I would just say horrific things. People hated it.
Yeah.
And you're performing in noisy bars all the time. You don't want them to be quiet with no laughs. That means you've touched on something that everyone hates. They're putting down their Moscow mules to hate it. And then at some point, I just started, like, I realized, like, oh, the stuff that he's talking about, we got over hundreds of years ago. He's like, bringing up, like, these issues that we don't even think about anymore. So that's when I started abstracting him. I made him, like, a guy talking about the wizard on the hill. Like, I would do, like, a medieval Trump, like a fantasy movie Trump. Like, you know what? The king is doing nothing about the gigantic dragon. We've got this giant dragon that nobody's doing anything about. And, you know, the guy who comes through in the morning, he does the swords, and he's banging the hammer. And I said, you know what, if I could just, believe me, this is true, only I can get the amulet. Only I can get the amulet, and that wizard is, we're going to make that wizard's head spin. When I have the enchanted sword, we're going to plunge that enchanted sword straight into the dragon's soft underbelly. And that's when I started getting the laughs with it.
Yeah,
it making
yeah.
it really
very,
this, like.
Very nice. You also, yes.
Yeah, thank you, sure. Thank you.
You also, you obviously have a very good ear for this. You made this observation by listening about he makes like weird throat noises.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the public consciousness for 100 years.
Yeah.
We have known him. He's in Home Alone 2. You know what I mean? I think he had a show on this network at some point.
No.
He's been around. We've been listening to him. So you have all these different impressions of him. Everybody does a different era of Trump, you know what I mean? And when he came back in the 2010s, ready to be president, his voice had deteriorated a lot. Have you ever seen Bob Dylan live now? Yeah. Like, did I pay for a Tom Waits show or something like that? That's what's happened to him, and his voice is very, very gurgly, Hillary. He goes back here, and there's a lot of... So accessing sort of the dark dungeons of my throat was necessary to play this Trump, because he's not the smooth 80s... She's got beautiful legs. He's not really 80s Trump anymore. Remember 80s Trump?
Yeah.
80s Trump.
She's a very nice person. I'm looking forward to speaking with her.
He's not that guy anymore.
Man, she's beautiful, and I'm going to take over everything, baby.
He went down.
He went down.
He went a few floors down.
That guy's going to be a huge star. He's going to be a huge star. All right, late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Halle Berry, Machine Gun Kelly on with Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert's got Adrian Brody, Cynthia Nixon on with Seth Meyers. I guess you saw, speaking of New Orleans, Sean Payton stepping down after 15 seasons coaching the New Orleans Saints. Now, this story I have says he doesn't know what he's going to do next, but there have been stories gurgling about him going up into the broadcast booth for quite a while now, so my betting money would be on him becoming a commentator, a color commentator for one of the networks. Elton John had to postpone some of his shows because he tested positive for COVID. Birthdays today would have been a birthday for Eddie Van Halen, would have been 66. He checked out in 2020. The Octomom. I don't know how old she is, but the octuplets are 13. Wayne Gretzky, the great one, who is spending part of his time in the Frontenac area now, 61. Ellen DeGeneres, 64. Anita Baker, singer, 64. Jerry Sandusky, oh gosh, he's having a birthday in jail, 78 today. His earliest possible release date is October 9th, 2042. He'd be 98 at that time. Gene Siskel, who was a pal of mine, would have had a birthday today, had brain surgery back in 1999 and did not make it after that. And everybody's favorite, Bob Uecker, the star of Major League and Mr. Belvedere, is 88 today and still calling games and still cracking people up. I just saw him. There's a commissary in the basement of Busch Stadium, and you know, people sort of get to the ballpark at around 4 in the afternoon. Manager has the reporter gaggle at about 4:15. That's usually done by about, usually in the last more than about 15 minutes. And then everybody sort of scrambles and gets ready to do whatever their job is in terms of broadcasting. And then there's a little downtime, usually right about 6:15 until about 6:45, where nothing much is happening. And everybody assembles, you know, usually maybe 100, 150 people down in the basement there. And for, you know, $7, you get a hot meal and people sit around, just chit chat. And I went right up to Euchre because he lived directly across the street from a girl I dated back when I lived in Milwaukee. And oh, geez, what year was it? Around 1980 or something like that, 81. But in 2000, Karen Kelly and I were in Milwaukee. We followed the Cardinals up there for a weekend, just thought that would be fun. And so we cornered Bob Euchre at one point. Now, keep in mind, this is the final year of the old County Stadium in Milwaukee. As we are speaking, directly across the street, they're building the new ballpark, Miller Park. And knowing what a goof Euchre is and how much fun he has just riffing, we underhanded a couple of softballs in the direction of Bob Euchre.
I don't know if there's a better baseball town in all of the country than St. Louis, and the fans and everything that that happens there is big league. I mean, the Arch. I've taken a ride in the Arch a couple of times. One of these times, I want to go inside and ride it. I do it from outside, where it's a little tougher and a little scarier. But it's hot. That metal gets hot. You can't put your hands on it. You got to wear gloves when you climb that thing. And but it's a kick. It's a lot of fun. It takes a day and a half to do it, but it's a lot of fun.
I'm assuming you have mixed emotions about the passing of this ballpark. And we heard stories. We were taking a tour yesterday. They told us they've seen skunks underneath the place.
Well, those were put here. We work here with the zoo, and we have all kinds of animals. As a matter of fact, the Discovery Channel comes in here and films once a month to find out what's underneath here, and we've seen a lot of stuff under here that's still unidentified. But I'm not sorry to get out of here. I mean, this has been a great old ballpark, but I can't wait to get to Miller Park. This place has seen its best days, I can guarantee you that.
Did you ask for anything special in the broadcast booth? They can customize, you know, the place for you.
Well, we have a very nice booth over there, and it's unfortunately not facing the field. It actually faces this ballpark, and which is going to make calling a game kind of tough. But having been, into these adverse situations before, I think I can, I'll come through with something.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I work with my partner Karen here, I see her every day, but when we travel together, that's when I think you really find out the truth about somebody. Now, you worked with our pal Bob Costas on the road for many years. Tell me something about Bob that the average person, even people like us, wouldn't know from not having traveled with him.
Well, the one thing about Costas is that once he gets... I can't tell you that. The other thing is, when we're on the road and we're in our room, maybe I better not tell you that either. One time we were in a car. We were in the back seat of a car. We were going from Ball. Anything I know about him, everything I know about him, I can't tell you. Sorry.
Now, I know you had your own clothing line in the mid-'80s. Are you wearing anything from that line tonight?
No, I'm not. What I am wearing from that line, I can't show you. It's kind of in shreds now, but, when you have something like that, you get a clothing line, you hate to give it up, and you don't, you know, the stuff, you try to keep it as long as you possibly can. So most of the undergarments have been hand washed, and you get them out in the wind to dry a little bit. They get a little shredded sometimes, but the elastic's still good in them.
You know, you're in great shape, Bob. I hope you don't take this the wrong way. We were watching you from behind. I hope my ass is as small and as tight as yours is when I'm your age.
I have a valve back here that I can let out or blow up, and you're welcome to blow it up if you want anytime. Jump on, man.
Bob Euchre, it's great to see you. Congratulations on 44 years in baseball, 30 in the booth. Great to talk to you.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you later on. Thanks.
You talk to some of the biggest... Because the guy is so funny. You talk to some of the biggest comedic names in the business, and they will tell you that they think Bob Euchre is one of the funniest people that has ever roamed the face of the earth. Today is National Spouses Day, so we say Happy National Spouses Day to all the married people out there. Don't feel bad being single. Spouses are great and all, but can be very annoying. Somebody recently polled 1,000 Americans who are married, and 44% agreed with the statement, "My spouse gets on my nerves sometimes." The most common things that annoy us about our spouses are their selective hearing, snoring, their control freak tendencies. A few more random stats. 45% of married couples usually celebrate Valentine's Day in one way or another. 80% say it was a bigger deal before they got married, though. Only 16% say they argue with their spouse on a regular basis. Liars. 10% of married people say they love their spouse, but sometimes wish they were single so they could experience dating again. 17% agreed with the statement, "My spouse is a slob." 44% of husbands claim they usually split chores pretty evenly, but only 26% of the wives agreed with that statement. And the things we're most likely to appreciate about our spouse include, they're a hard worker, I can be myself around them. Translated, it means I can fart. They make me laugh, they're smart, they're supportive, and they're a great parent. Florida can be a lot of things, but it's also the shark bite capital of the United States and has been defending that title since 1837. In those 184 years, there have been 896 shark attacks in Florida. Hawaii next, by the way, with only 182. According to the latest data from the International Shark Attack File, there was one. There were 73 unprovoked shark bites worldwide in 2021. Only 73. Doesn't seem like a lot unless you're the one getting bit. 47% in U.S. waters, which is more, far more than any other country. 28 in Florida, more than any other state. In fact, there were 17 in Volusia County alone. That's where Daytona Beach is. And more than half of all shark attacks happened when people were surfing. Despite the 73 attacks worldwide in 2021, there were only 9 unprovoked fatalities. There were 2 more deaths that were classified as provoked, where the human initiated the interaction, usually while fishing, hunting, or attempting to help the shark. You get these sharks that have a hook in their mouth, or they got something stuck on them, some plastic stuff, and somebody decides, well, let's help out the shark. And the shark's like, yes, I'm inconvenienced right now because I got a hook in my mouth, but I'm also very, very hungry, and you look delicious. Chomp. And that's the end of that. The ISAF, which if you've been paying attention, you know, is the International Shark Attack File. According to the ISAF, they say the odds of being killed by a shark are lower than 1 in every 3.7 million, and obviously even lower if you avoid Florida. Yesterday, we were talking about the fact that only four companies control all the meat and the chicken in this country, and now word comes that Tyson is selling heart-shaped chicken nuggets for Valentine's Day. You know, because nothing says romance like reconstituted chicken parts molded in the shape of a Valentine. Speaking of food, it's physically impossible for pigs to look straight up to the sky. The anatomy of their neck muscles and their spine limits the movement of their head. Also describes some of the guys I used to see at the bar in Clayton at the old J Bucks back in the day. Good morning, everybody. I'm a city kid. You know, I'm a city kid. Concrete, steel, that sort of stuff. I'd not spent a lot of time in the country or out on farms, but somebody did tell me a long time ago that turkeys cannot be put outside in the rain, because if it rains, turkeys look straight up to see where the rain is coming from, and the water runs down their faces into their noses, and they drown while they're standing straight up. I don't know if it's true, but it sounds good. Today is the 2-year anniversary of the Kobe Bryant helicopter crash. That was in 2020. 52 years ago today, 1970, Simon and Garfunkel released their final album, Bridge Over Troubled Water. That was the one with the boxer. I had a dream that Paul Simon died, by the way. And 24 years ago today, 1998, the famous words from Bill Clinton, "I want to say one thing to the American people. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky." Turns out his definition of sexual relations and everybody else's was a little bit different. And by the way, Jake Tapper, who's got a new show coming out, the CNN guy, turns out that he dated Monica Lewinsky back in the day. He said it was only one date, but that they got along fine. She was nice. And they're still friends, by the way. Which reminds me of the old Dom Irrera joke, who said, what do Monica Lewinsky and a vending machine have in common? And of course, the answer is... They both have a little sign that says, insert bill here. Two rim shots to finish off the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, January 26, 2022. 287 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We're here every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock. It's absolutely free. Everything is archived, so you can go back and pick up a podcast if you missed it. We do politics only when it's absolutely unavoidable. You can email me at jc at jcontheline.com. Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Stay warm, stay dry. Just stay, will you? And we'll see you tomorrow morning. Right here. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.